Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me. How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
No.
I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time, but will you push your neighbor and tell him God said he going to do it this week? God said he going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. I ain't got a whole lot of time, y'all know. You taking too long. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God gonna respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's gonna happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslap. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'ma do it. I'ma do it this week. Come on. I'ma do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Churchy, and I gotta preach. Some of y'all don't need a break. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say I need a breakthrough. Come on, get your Bible. You need a get your Bible.
Walk over you. Ah. Yeah, child. And your forefather David said, you have caused the enemies to walk over our heads. We have been in the fire and in the water, and you have caused him to walk over our heads. But there comes a time where God says, enough is enough. We have been fighting principalities. And oftentimes we presume the principality is a being that is ascended from the heavenlies, and it is. But when you look at the word principalities, the derivative of the interpretation, when you see that in the Gospels and especially in the epistle writing, it really literally means the negative wall and forces of negative speech against you. Some of us have just been fighting years of negative speech against us. People who declared you're nothing and you never will be nothing. Your papa was nothing. Your mama was nothing. You come from a line and a lineage of ill repute. Your skin too dark. Your lips too big. Your feet too big. And you'll never make it in this world. We have come down the portals where counselors didn't even want to counsel us in school. We had dreams and they said, not for you. They have switched our forte and our bailiwick on which God had ordained and designed us to have. Because of the epidermis of our skin, we didn't fit the modern day platform. And sometimes we were sexually genderized. You're too feminine. And you're too ugly, meaning the color of your epidermis. But sister, because of the disenfranchisement in this 21st century, it has not stopped God from loving you. People all over the world have said what they had to say about you, but there is one who is saying, and what he is saying takes precedence and takes divine authority over every other speech. Now, negativity has been a war against us and has fought us everywhere we turn. Fought. But here, Gideon, and I'm moving quickly, Gideon, and I want you to read this because this is a word specified for you. It is custom for you right here, this moment, you that are in this room, every one of you in your specifications and in your design offices and under your design anointings. Now watch. He was handed the mantle to pursue his enemy. He started out with thousands. You remember the concept of the text. God said, not by many, but by a few. He cleansed them out until he had just 300. Huh? Okay. Now, the masses against them were thousands of.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am Apostle-elect. Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis. We're just excited about our broadcast on this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Man Up Monday. Amen. Listen, listen, you guys that are tuning in and listening with us on this morning, I just want you to know that this morning we have a word from the Lord for you on this morning. We have a word from the Lord for you on this morning. We are going to have with us none other than our friend, our brother, none other than Pastor Stanley Davis. Pastor Stanley Davis will be with us live here shortly. Guys, and those of you all who have never heard this man of God preach, today will be a good day for y'all to sit down, get y'all a pencil and a piece of paper, and join in on the conversation. This month, we have been dealing with the shift. This month, we have been dealing with the shift. I'm telling you guys, those of you all, you gentlemen that needs to be in a position to be shifted, this is the time, this is the season that we are in right now. We're in the season, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the season of shift. We're in the season of shift. We have to be in a position and in a place to where we allow God to shift us into the place to where we need to be. And in order for him to do that, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we have to do is we have to get some divine revelation. We have to get some word. We got to get some power. We got to get some strength. We got to get some wisdom. And that's what we're doing here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection today. We're actually giving you guys that information to be able to shift you into the places where you need to be and shift you in your ministry, shift you in your marriage. Watch this, shift you in your personal walk with God. Amen. That's what we're doing here today. But listen, before we get any further, before we go another further, as they say, allow us to go before the presence of the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord on this morning and share a word of prayer and then share a scripture on this morning. So those of you all that would lend me your hearts this morning as we go into effectual fervent prayer on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this chance to come before you today, God. God, to be increased for our coming. Father, we pray today, God, that you would give us wisdom, and not only wisdom, you would give us power. Not only just power, but God, you'll give us strength. Not only just strength, God, would you give us the ability to use that which you have given to us to use. Father, we pray today that you would break the shackles and the chains of this world off of our life. God, break them off our minds, break them off our hearts, break them off our arms, God, break them off our feet. God, break them off of our conversation. God, the wiles of this world, the things of this world, God, God, allow us to see them for what they are. Father, and begin to strengthen us in a way like only you know how. Father, continue to give us grace. Continue to give us mercy. Continue to give us wisdom. Continue to give us power. God, that we'll be able to do what you have called us to do. God, we thank you for allowing us to walk into our assignments on this morning. God, knowing that the assignments that is attached to our life, the assignments that is attached to our bodies, the assignments that is attached to our mindsets, God, have come from you. God, and we're not walking in our own self, but Lord God, we're walking in you on this morning. And we give your name praise. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. God, we give your name dominion. And we give your name power. God, and we say thank you for all things being made well. Now we pray for those that are under the sound of our voice. We pray that you would touch them in a mighty way. God, give them the ability to hear your voice this morning, God. God, give them the ability to feel your presence on today. God, give them the ability right now, Lord God, God, to understand and comprehend what is being said to them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, is our prayer on this morning, and we thank you for all things being made well in the mighty and rich and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, do we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen. Amen. Listen, we want to make sure that we share our scripture with you on this morning. And our morning scripture is coming from the book of Galatians, And it's going to be Galatians 5 and 24, 5 and 24. And it reads simply like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful flesh. They have given up their own selfish feelings and the evil things they want to do. Amen. Amen. Crucified their flesh. Amen. This morning, I want y'all to know that it's important that you crucify your flesh daily. Apostle Paul said, I crucified my flesh daily. You know, because sometimes the Bible declares there's no good thing that dwells within our flesh. There's no good thing that dwells within our flesh. So we have to be mindful to crucify our flesh daily. Crucify our flesh daily. Listen, guys, we want to make sure also that we acknowledge our countries and listening. And we thank you guys so much for partnering up and listening in on a day-to-day basis. We are just excited about what God is saying in this time and in this hour with all of our great countries. We thank you so much for you guys tuning in, all of our missionaries, all of our pastors that are all over the country that are listening in. We thank God for you. We bless the name of the Lord for you. We magnify this great God that is connected to us and through us and for us. We thank God for that. We also want to make sure that you guys know that God is not just able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Only thing we have to do is just continue to trust in him. And we trust in the Lord with all our heart and mean that to our own understanding and all our ways and knowledge, and he will direct our path. Amen. Amen. Listen, guys, these are the countries that are listening in. And again, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Brazil. We have Zimbabwe. We have Nigeria. South Africa. We have Ghana. We have Kenya. We have Jamaica. We have Germany. We have Bulgaria. We have Russia. We have Mexico. We have the United Kingdom. And we have Hong Kong. And we have China. And we want to say thank you guys, as always, for connecting with us. And those of you all that are out doing the missionary work, you're in any missionary fields, and you're in those missionary fields, and you're putting your hand to the plow, and you have not taken down, we thank God for you. We thank God for you. We actually do continue to do that. Don't be weary and well-doing. Know that God is not only just able, but he is well-able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Only thing we have to do is just continue to trust in him, and he will direct our path. He will keep us on the straight and narrow. He'll keep us in that position and in that place that when our issue and our circumstance come up, we're able to see him in our condition. Amen. Those of you all that are giving your life know that the thing that you're doing, this opportunity that you're taking, this chance that you're taking, and that we also realize that you guys have a hard taskmasters over that country that are there, that's not making it easy for you. And we understand that. But we want you to know that we're praying for you. Don't give up in the fight. Continue to fight the good fight of faith, and know that God is not just able, but God is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. That even in that, he will protect you, and even in that, his hand of mercy and grace will be upon you. Just continue to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen, amen. Listen, guys, I want to continue to get you guys hear some good gospel music and listen for our guest that will be coming on here shortly. Pastor Stanley Davis will be with us. Pastor Stanley Davis will be with us shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, please continue to listen in and be a part of what God is doing right now in the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And remember that he is not just able, but he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Amen? Amen. So we're going to take a quick musical break, and we will be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Nothing.
just me. Like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough, you never felt pretty enough, but imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. It's all gone. Every sin, every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. My faith, gone. No self-esteem, hallelujah. It's gone. It's all gone. It's gone. All my scars, all my pain. It's in the past, it's yesterday. It's all gone. What your mother did, what your father did, hallelujah.
Franklin, Imagine Me. That was Kirk Franklin, Imagine Me. We're just excited. We have none other on the line than our friend, our brother, none other than Pastor Stanley Davis. Listen, guys, we cannot hold the man of God any longer. We're just excited about what your man of God has to say, what the word has to say for us on this morning. So I present the son and introduce the others, none other than our friend, our brother, Pastor Stanley Davis. Pastor Davis, you have the floor, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, saints and friends? I thank God for you. I'm not gonna be any way disrespectful. I really do appreciate your time because your time is valuable. May God bless you and may God keep you during this time. But I am Stanley Davis from Our Faith Fellowship Church. The apostle have invited me on today to talk about the shift. You know, some of us have got too holy, and we wonder what's the shift that this pastor is going to talk about. I'm going to talk about your life shift here on earth. God said that we're supposed to possess the land. And then he give us a lot of things that we can do, but we're scared to do it, or we haven't had the instructions how to do it. I was asked by Apostle Douglas to come on. That was a purpose behind it, and I really do thank God for him. I am a engineer, been an engineer for 28 years. I'm a 51-year-old, going to be 52-year-old, a man that have been through a lot of different things in life, but I had to understand why I went through these things. I'm a little country boy from East Texas, but I live in Houston, Texas now. So God can shift things in your life, but during the shift, what are you doing? How are you preparing for the shift in your life? I talked to the apostle, and he said, let this have the floor. You know, I thank God for him. But there's things that we as true believers must do so that we can possess the land that God said he had prepared for us. And it's not all about materialistic or money, but it's about the way that you address or get in alignment with your life. Some of us is completely out of line with life because we're trying to be like the earthly people. Yes, we're earthly vessels, but there's things that some of us have went overboard trying to please the person that we with. You know, I don't criticize people for what they get. There's nice things. Yes, everyone wants nice things. But there's things that you're buying in your household. It might be nice, but Satan is the one that's settling and keeping you down. I know that somebody might say, oh, what's this pastor talking about? I like my Louis. I like my nice things or whatever that I have. But it's been a trick from Satan to always have that vision in your eyes of your neighbor or someone else doing better than you. But are you doing better once you close that door and away from the world? We as believers, sometimes we take our lifestyle that we live to want people to look at us and reflect of how our ministry is. And it's hard sometimes when you see someone that have a job and then you got a minister or a pastor that don't have the same level of finance that you have. To shift your lifestyle around in a way that is comfortable with you. God said that he didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said he was going to make your burdens light. So don't put no more on you than you can bear. You know, we always say, well, God won't put no more on me than I can bear. Yes, that's correct. But then when you keep picking up stuff that he's telling you you don't have in your hands the whole room, why you keep putting it on yourself, then you want to throw it on God. God, take over this. Lord, I need you to make this payment for this Bentley. Or it ain't got to be a Bentley, for a BMW that you didn't need, that Hunter you was driving. It was paid for, but because you done saw the people in your life say, oh, man, you need to level up. Man, yeah, man, you got a good job, a good house. Man, buy your BMW. Stop listening to what people say. What did God say? A lot of things that we do in life, that testimony of my life. I left the house in Palestine. It was paid for. Come up to Houston. Thought I was living a great life. And I couldn't afford nothing in Houston because I come from a small town. And right at that phase of my life, I had a great job. I didn't have no kids. The Lord showed me differently. It's not where you live, it's who you are. Once you go somewhere, you got to stay the same person. Once you go to the next level in life, once God shifts things in your life, you got to stay the same person. You got to have the same discipline financially, to have the same discipline with your credit. You got to have the same discipline with your spending habits. We done got to a point, if a lot of people look, this pandemic has been a blessing to some, but it's been a curse to others. But it have also been a shift in the church that a lot of people, they don't want to accept, but it have. You don't have the same tithes and offerings coming in. You don't have the same group of people that's used to being around you, seeing you as much. But what are you doing in that process, in that time of not having? Are you maintaining? Or are you just saying, well, I'll go get another loan, I'll do this? You know, a lot of people have really, really shifted in a bad way, but some have shifted in godly ways. Take your life and reevaluate yourself. Write down everything that you have. You always hear about networks. They talked about this pop singer who made the billionaire. Her net worth is $1 billion. She don't have $1 billion, but her net worth is $1 billion. The houses, the cars, the company that she have, or the, you know, everything, that's the net worth. She don't have $1 billion in the bank. How much is your net worth? Know your value as an individual. A lot of us discredit our value. We said we want to be a millionaire because they said, oh, this person is a millionaire. But you might already be a millionaire. Look at your retirement pension. Look at your house, your vehicles in the garage, your furniture, and shift your mindset on who you are. Shift the mindset that I am who God says I am. He have made me a king. Shift from being that depressed person and recognize that God have did everything that he promised you, but because he maintained you, he sustained you. That's what we pay tithes and offerings for. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's for the church, it's for the people. Yes, but sustain you during the times that you're not doing well. Get all that stuff and write it down and say, well, Lord, I have worked this long. You have made me a millionaire. I have $1 million worth of assets of what I have bought or what I have attained. And if that's the case, now it's time for you to shift your mindset in a different way. Now it's saying to you, I preached about the rich man yesterday, how he was, and the title was this: it's not about you. When is it going to stop being about you and shift to the next level in life? Adam messed up because Eve messed up. And then when Adam had to be accountable, he said, this woman you gave me. But the woman, it wasn't about her. It was about obeying God. It wasn't about Eve when Adam blamed her. It was about obeying God. It's not about you. It's not about me. The things that we have, it's nice, but it's not about us. It's a reflection of who God is. Are you in that mindset of being a reflection of who God is? We allow our church members to shift us out of the spiritual mindset to the earthly mindset, or to the mindset of where we come from. You get a preacher who can preach his head off his shoulders, and then the people get around him and, Pastor, you need to have a this suit, or Pastor, you need this, and then next thing you know, you start attaining stuff. And you step away to what God have placed you at first. You shift to a pleasing the people instead of shifting back to God. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We could talk in the sense of any finance. The finance is always nice. But now, the shift, that's long jeopardy. what are you doing for your generation after you? Because what you do right now is not about you. Are you taking your kids and putting them or placing them on your credit report so they can have, because we wasn't instructed and taught credit? Are you building and repairing your credit so you put your kids or your grandkids on your credit so once they get old enough, they can attain things without high interest? Are you shifting the things of the generation of curse? Are you bringing them on and saying, well, this, my mama and my daddy did it this way? Are you continuously dragging the things of the past with you and not shifting gears? If you ever drive a standard shift, they don't stop making a lot of standard shifts. It used to be a common vehicle. A standard shift, they used to say this is for people who couldn't afford the automatics. But a standard shift, you can take off real fast, stay in that same gear. You got to go to a second gear, a third gear, fourth or fifth gear. And every gear have its purpose. But every now and then you got to hit reverse. You got to back and start over at first, second, and third. But you're getting somewhere. But if you stay in that first gear from start, you're a long time to get to the destination you're trying to get to. Won't you shift gears? It might jerk a little bit. It might feel a little bit funny because you don't got the same power from when you started off. But if you shift it, it's going to be smoother. It'll be smoother for those who's riding with you. And that's where you need to get right now. Make things smoother, grandkids and your kids' kids. The word says a wise man leaves inheritance for his kids' kids. And the inheritance might not be just money. It's not all about money. Sometimes we looked at money how we used to in the past, but we at the level right now that currency is almost getting phased away. Everybody's getting paid by internet or by an app. Sooner or later, you go to Walmart, one of the biggest retailer in the United States. At night, if you don't have a credit card, you can't purchase nothing because they shift away from money and say, no, the card only, no cash. And so now, if you're still carrying a checkbook to go to Walmart to buy a check, to buy something, it's almost like people look at you like, why are you writing a check? The banks don't even want checks no more. They want you to take a picture of the check and send the picture for a deposit. We have shifted away from things of the past, but are you still in the same gear or the same mindset? Your mindset sometimes can keep you at a level of being lost of where you need to be. It can keep you in the forest of walking for 40 years. The mindset of Israel kept changing in the midst of them trying to go to the promised land, changing. All they had to do is just keep shifting, keep adjusting, keep changing as they was progressing, going towards where they need to go. Is your mindset still the old-fashioned way? Well, my mom and them did it this way. My father and them did it this way. I told my kids, when I was growing up, we my mom and father spared not the rod. I grew up. I had to shift away from that, the way that they spared not the rod. Now, and don't think I didn't raise and discipline my kids, but the shifting was not just go get them switches off them trees. But the thing is, it made them better than I was. I'm proud of them. But most of all, I'm proud of how my parents raised me to another level so I can raise my kids. What is the shift you need in your life? God placed temporary people in our life, but we try to make them permanent. You try to make a person that God only placed in your life for a season permanent. And now there's hell and high water just everywhere because you're trying to keep this temporary person in your life and you don't want to ship away. Oh, Lord, this person's supposed to be in my life. I want this. But God done already placed that person in your life just for a season. But now you're trying to keep that person in your life permanently. Everybody in the Bible, they had a mentor or they had someone in their life that they had to apart, that had to separate from. Even the disciples had to separate from each other. Yeah, they come back and they visit each other. Jesus Christ, he had to leave his disciples to go off by himself. Did he come back to them? We as earthly vessels that need filling by the Holy Spirit, how are we governing the temporary things in our life? Are we trying to make everything permanent? Are we shifting to the next level? Now we're in this pandemic. We as the body of Christ, all of us must shift and adjust and adapt to a different level. We have had people who got married, testimony of that, and have married someone that's so spending your life temporary because they couldn't keep going with you to the next level. I know they said, Lord, a pastor talking about divorce. How? What? If it wasn't for Moses in the Bible sending his wife back home to her father. Couldn't got no father than he was. And when he married the Ethiopian woman, they still didn't like or they didn't accept his next level of joy. David, he had to send home his wife back to Saul. He sent Michelle back home to Saul because Michelle was upset because David come home dancing like a fool and had a said that wasn't king-like. But David had to shift from Saul's way of acting, of being, to a godly heart. Sometimes the temporary people in your life can try to hinder you. They could try to stop you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting divorce. I'm not saying that at all. But one thing my mother used to always say, son, don't live in hell and die and go to hell because you hate somebody in your heart. But are you taking that as well with business partners? Are you taking that as well with people in your circle? Every time or you go around them or your cousins or your friends, you know, every time you go around them, there's a conflict. Or you hate seeing them come. Ooh, here they come. Oh, Lord. Why are you continuously staying in that same gear that is putting you in that jerking move or you're not accelerating where you need to accelerate when that individual come around. That's on you. When are you going to shift? They might talk about you. They're going to talk about you. They talked about Jesus Christ. Jesus, your mother and brothers and sisters, I sat waiting on you. And Jesus said, who is that mother and brother and sister? It's those that love God. He said, if you're going to stay and my mother and brother, you got to stay on the same level that I'm at. What level of life are you on? Are you still trying to please people? Problem with ministry today. We're trying to please people to keep people paying tithes and offerings. Yes, these people, they're paying the bills, the notes, and all the other things. But have you given your soul to a pleasing people instead of pleasing God? I know it's hard to do in the body of Christ, because if I say something that's going to offend this person or do something to this person, man, I you know, it's going to take away resources from the ministry. And so you stay stuck at a level because you're trying to please Brother Cut and Shoot. Do you understand that God is still in control? You can try to please them all you want, but then that's how church died, because once the members start dying that you was pleasing, that one might stay there and say, well, Deacon Softfoot always like, you know, we got to have communion at night. Your younger members who was there but left, they work at night. They made sure they got a job working at night. So they come to church on first Sunday morning, but then they haven't received communion ever since they've been there. Now, let's say on vacation, and they can come there one night. Are you still allowing the people that's in your circle not allow your circle to grow, or not allow your circle to have space so you can grow? You can put any animal in a cage, and after a while, they won't eat as much because they don't want to get as big. I say, no, I'm not getting out of this cage. And then after the animal been caged up or chained up for so long, you can go get a dog and chain a dog up in the corner of a house. And the dog done choked himself and pulled himself so much, he know where his limit and where he can run to. Chain off of the hook or what's holding that chain down, and watch that dog. He still know not to go so far because it's going to choke him or it's going to pull him back. He's programmed. And once he do realize he's free, what is he going to do? He's going to run around like he don't know what's going on. He's going to run and hop and run and jump. But once you get back, he's going to go right back to that area that's comfortable for him. Are you shifting your life? Are you preparing for the shift in your life? How can I prepare, Pastor? Well, the first thing you got to do, you got to write down the things that you're doing, the things in your life. Then you write down the things that you want to accomplish in your life. And once you write it down, what you can accomplish, then write down, how can I accomplish this? A lot of folks will write a lot of things down, but now you got to put, is it relevant or is it important. Is it a need or is it a want? A lot of women will go in their closet and they will look. They got all these red bottoms. They got all these nice shoes. But the pandemic shut everything down. You couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't go to work. And now, because they single women, a lot of them, they like living in apartments because there's no maintenance. I don't got to cut no yard. I don't have to do nothing. Just come and close my door. If I want something fixed, they'll fix it. But now you can't even go to work. This past pandemic. Now this not this different phase. Well, you can't sell the shoes. You got thousands of dollars of shoes. You have limited resources in your savings accounts because you've been using it to pay the rent, the utilities. And now the country opened up, the first thing you want to do is go on a couple of trips with your homegirls. But then you get back to the house, you're still in the same situation that you in. Because I want to show the people that I can still be like them. Are you trying to please people and show people that I can still do it? Don't do it. Just be who you really need to be happy with yourself and comfortable with yourself. We have got the dopamine of a gambler, if I can say. The thing about a gambler is they like to hear the casino slot machines go off, and it's a sign to them. Or if they hear somebody else win big, it's a sign to them. Well, that's the same thing with us. We got that society to us. If we don't get that entertainment or that acknowledgement that we was looking for, the dopamine that we used to get, it's not there. Stop trying to please people. Stop trying to get to a point where now. Yeah, I want you to please people with the word of God. But the word of God sometimes is all that we're going to have. Not all the time. That's all we're going to have. Are you taking your life and using it as God said that it shall be? Now, if we got any callers, I can tell you how to get your credit score to 850. I have an 850 credit score. I don't have no bills. I don't have nothing but a house mortgage. I can tell you how to pay your kids' college. My son, he's going to college to be a dentist. I pay for his college. That's not no student loan, no financial aid. I don't want no one else to get the profit off of sending my kids to school, and then they charge them a high interest rate. When I went to school, I had to pay for my own. I have a doctor's degree, but my son, I want to make sure he don't have to pay for his own. I pay for his, so the next generation of his kids, he could pay for theirs. So I'm being a blessing for my kids' kids. There's other ways of being a blessing for your kids' kids. All my kids, every last one of them that's over the age of 18, have an 850 credit score. But when I was growing up, we had a store credit where you go and they write it down on a tally at the store. And then your mom or whoever gets the cable or the lights get turned off, it's in the kid's name now. You know, I teach responsible
critic, because now that's going to be the thing of the future. It's going to be all that we have. If you don't know your credit score, you need to debate and find out what your credit score is. You need to be able to call all three credit bureaus and get your credit report or go online. Make sure that you're shifting your life to the next level. I know people my age, 51, that still don't have a checking account. They still go to a cash checking place to check the cash their checks. And that's 1% or whatever it is they got to pay. There's checking accounts out there that the banks will pay you to take your money or to keep your money in the account. Have you shifted to that level, or are you still paying a bank fee? Are you paying a bank fee as your business account? There's banks out there that will pay you every month, even though I have this checking account. They pay me interest on my checking account, on my savings, pay me to hold my money in their account. But I didn't know about it because no one ever told me. You can have this same shift. You ask people, how do you become this or how do you become successful? And people will tell you hard work. No, I'm going to tell you how to work. Stop telling me hard work. Show me how to work. If no one ever tell you how to drive a standard shift, the first thing a person would do is script the gears. Learn how to work. Apostle?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
You know, one thing that people fail to do is adjust with time. But time waits for no one. I explain the four seasons as I give a mustard seed out. I said there's a planting season. You got to plant first. To plant, you got to till, you got to get dirty. It's hard. Your back hurts. Pull the roots up. You got to get all the bad stuff out of the ground before you plant. Now you plant it. Now there's the nourishment season. You got to keep all the bugs out. You got to protect it. You got to make sure you give it the nourishments and the waters, the water that it needs so it can grow. And then there's a harvest season. As it done grown and you done seen what God have given the increase of what you planted, well, you're happy during the harvest. Because you're getting plenty. But now, after all you done got, it's barren. It's there's a dormant season. But during the dormant season, you still might get a couple of little harvests off of it. But what are you doing during dormant? Have you left? No. During the dormant season, you must pick it back up. Shift the ground, move the soil over, turn the soil, clean the soil, shift it out so any old seeds that was in the soil won't regrow on something new you're trying to plant. And you start all over again. The seasons that most folks would see, they don't see it the way I see it. It's always a season. But what season are you in? You got to shift to the next one. You just can't keep being a planting, during the season. I'm just planting. It's, you know, okay, well, it's harvest time. Okay, it's harvest, but who did the work so you can have a harvest? Where is the resources to give the nourishment for the harvest? Where's the tools you need to dig the harvest to prepare for the harvest to be planted? I'm trying to get people to shift their life to understand that you have the ability to do it, but someone got to show you. And to show you how to do it, it's not going to be easy because you're still going to have the mindset, I don't need to do that no more. Why do I want to do that? You get this generation nowadays, nobody want to cook. Why do I want to cook? Or you can go to a nice restaurant and pay $150 for you and your wife or to eat. Or you can come home and buy $150 worth of food and eat all week. You can't eat all week off $150 nowadays, but you can take and look at a different lifestyle instead of me going out to eat every day of the week. I'm going to eat twice a week, and I'm going to put the rest of that money off so I can have what God told me I can have, what I asked God for, and it's not going to be hard on me. There's a thing about people. They talk about, oh, man, you make this much money. I have seen more folks who make six figures unhappy than folks that's making $30,000, $40,000 a year. They enjoying life. They embracing their moments that they're in life. And they learn how to budget and manage what they have. But we want more. How much is too much? How much of what you have is too much? Walk around your house. Yes, bless it and thank God for it. But as you walk around, the things that you don't use or the stuff that you haven't used, put it in a crate and put that crate in the middle of the floor and leave it there for a week. And after you leave it there for a week, you say, man, this stuff is getting low. I got to move this stuff. Just ship it out. But it was holding space everywhere else that you hid away. Now it's in your way. Think the same thing about the stuff that's in your life that's hindering you. The people. Even social media can be in your way to excelling because it burns your time. It's burning so much of my time. Is this in the way? What's in the way of hindering you? Are you going to move it? Or are you just going to keep stepping over it and dealing with it? Deal with the things that God has given you to deal with, but you got to free up time for that. If he calls you, will you be ready? Are you going to be available? This brother called me, the apostle called me and asked me, and I said, yes, I'll make myself available. But I couldn't do that if I wasn't prepared to be available for God. Shift your life so your life will be what you want it to be, not what someone else said it should be. Pretty deep. Everybody want to hear, man, you should do this, or man, you should be here. It's not where you should. It's where I am. The definition of failure to me, you can always put criteria on people. You might get a child that you put through college, and you thought that child was going to be the next doctor, but then that child come out and go work at CVS in the pharmacist. And you're like, man, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed at this child. This child has failed me. Well, you set a level where you want that child to accomplish, but that child reached the level that their potential wanted them to reach. because they didn't meet your criteria, but they got to the point where I can't look at blood every time I go to work and do surgeries. But I can help people to medication after surgeries. Well, you upset now because, well, my daughter or my son is a pharmacist. They're not a doctor. I want them to be a doctor. Stop setting criteria for other people and don't allow other people to set criteria for you. Be who you are and stay in your lane. You know, you get too many folks. Yeah, everybody can drive a car, but everybody can't drive in that fast lane on the left. You know, you can go 70, 75, but you can't go 85 and 90. And, you know, you looking down at your speed, I'm like, man, this guy's coming up. I'm going 80 miles an hour. Yeah, but the speed limit is 75. You got to get over. Stay in your lane. You know, or get over another lane and just go to speed that you need to go. You're going to get to the same destination as they're going to if that's where y'all both going. It might just take you a little bit longer. You might not appreciate that, but then when you're riding with somebody else or someone else is riding with you and you used to driving 75 and they looking out the passenger window. Now, they used to drive in 90, 85, 90, but now they riding with you and they looking out the passenger window. Oh, man, I've never seen that. Oh, man, you see that place over there? I wonder how long that's been there. You say, oh, it's been there a minute. Oh, man, I never saw that. Oh, wow. Man, I'm going to have to stop by there one day. I did not know they had that there. It's because they're going too fast and they focus on their final destination and they're not focused on the small things in life. They need to shift or downshift and slow down a little bit to see things.
Amen.
Are you that person?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you that person that's going too fast and got to send somebody past the seat so you can see? I guess that doesn't affect you, Apostle. I guess you do all the driving at home.
No. That hit me though. That hit me, Doc. That hit me because we could be so laser focused on things that we just like you said, it's the small things that's in life that we wind up missing because we're going way too fast. And right. The shifting of life requires us to take a minute to stop and to look around and say, hey, you know what? Like you're saying, I got to alter plans. I got to alter my plans. Right. I got to alter this. I got to alter that to make it work. But yeah, man, that's what that was. That was powerful right there. Yeah.
Yeah, tough. If you don't alter, after a while, you're just going to be, yeah, I got a Hemi. Once I take off, it's full speed, you know.
Yes, sir.
But the thing is, you know, I use that between a standard shift and automatic because a lot of these younger people, they don't know how to drive that. They don't know how to drive a three speed. They don't know how to drive a vehicle in the column. You know, it's different. It's a different mindset. Every time mm-hmm. you slow down in traffic, you got to start back up again. And it can take you a little bit longer, you know, and while you're doing it, you know, you'll look over, you'll make sure nobody's going to hit you. But in life, if we keep driving or keep running at top speed and don't get in the passenger seat to see, allow someone to show you things that you have always been missing.
Right. That's right.
We have stopped allowing people because we have got the mindset, I'm grown. Don't show me nothing. I don't need you to show me nothing. I got this.
Right.
You know, even Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angels had to come and show him and comfort him. It says, and the angels comfort him. Mm-hmm. They had to show him the greater thing after the cross.
Right. Yep. So, you're absolutely right, Doc.
So even at Calvary, Jesus Christ, he looked up and he saw the angels and said, "Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me?" But then he looked back and he said, "Well, it's finished. I see where I'm going to go. It's finished." And we need to take that finish to it was good that he did what he did. He stayed on the cross from 6 and 9 to the 9th hour so he can take his time to finish what he needed to do. Are you the one that said and thanked you being crucified? But on the cross, you're not saying, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Or taking time, it says, "Son, behold our mother. Mother, behold our son." Are you getting things in order before you get to where God wants you to be? God wanted him to be in the grave and to be at the right hand of him. But he had to be on the cross. And while he was up there, he put things in order before he left there. So you got to shift things over. Jesus Christ shipped his mother, Mary, over to John, the beloved. He shifted that over to his brother or his disciple. What are you shifting? What are you doing? How are you doing it? Are you doing it too fast? Are you doing it too slow? Too slow is never slow enough. Sometimes you got to sit back and reevaluate. But then once you get it, allow someone to minister unto you like Jesus had to be ministered unto. Multiple times, teachers and apostles and pastors, we think that we're people see us in a different mindset, that we're just so high. But in the beginning of the Bible, when in Jesus' ministry, he was ministered to in the beginning. Peter's mother-in-law ministered to Jesus and all those that was in present and that was present after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then Jesus would go up in the mountains and be ministered to by the angels. And they comfort him. When he first got tempted by Satan, it says the angels came and ministered unto him and strengthened him. Are you being ministered to as a leader in the body of Christ? Are you allowed someone to minister to your life so it can be shifted over to the next level of life? Because all we do is go, 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 go. Allow someone to shift something and put something in your life and in my life that we may have a better life. Don't allow the things of this world and the people that's coming. It's funny, but people that's coming to our church, some of them, you know, you got saved, you got sweetly saved, and you got those that come to destroy the Satanists. Satan still have his angels doing what they're supposed to do, and that's you got Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So is he still coming? Is he still interrupting? Is he still doing what he's supposed to do? But are we as preachers or ministers or the body of Christ, are we doing what we have to do and having people speak things in our life so that we can do what God intended for us to do? And that's to be stronger. And as I reflect back to that car driving, yeah, the first couple of gears is strong. Man, you hit them gears, man. You can even make the tires spin. It's strong. But if we always in fifth gear, and that's cruising gear, we lose a lot of the power and the strength because we don't want to never shift back, a downshift, so we can get more power. We never want to slow down. We want to stay at the same pace. Old preacher told me, he said, son, you know, he knew Dr. King. He said, you know, Dr. King was, he was a busy man. He ran and did what he had to do. And he said, because he knew his time was short. He said, but now that he done did what he had to do, you don't got to do it the same way. You got to learn from what he did and make your life long. It's not what you're destined to do. It's how you do what God has put into your destiny. Destiny. He's not going to allow you to die until you complete it. And don't get me wrong. You can start the motion. You can start doing what you got to do. And the Lord allow you to move out of the way. He'll take you away. But it's not going to stop that wheel. Moses, he started it. 40 years later, he was doing everything he had to do. But then after Moses was out of the people who was hindering the shift to go to the next, the promised land, then they shipped that next level and it went on over. They were prepared. They was ready. They said it wasn't scary. It wasn't scared. They didn't have to fight some battles. But they got where they had to go. The Jordan River, they still got through it. It was just the river, it wasn't the sea. Because we already got past the sea. We as believers, we already passed the sea. We just got to get over our river. But how will we do that if we don't know how our people in the past did it? I call all the brothers and sisters that's in ministry. Help some of us brothers and sisters in ministry, in the small ministry, the startups. Build their confidence up. Won't you slow down and come and help these people? Show them and tell them how you got this process started. Stop allowing people to fail in the body of Christ. Why are we allowing so many people to fail? And we got multi-million-dollar churches or multi-ministries. We got three or four churches that we preach at every Sunday. But then you won't help this guy sustain one Sunday or one church that he only preaches one Sunday. He's not going to take your members. They're not yours. They're the Lord's. But you can't be everywhere. You know, a lot of pastors will say this, and they need to stop. Them my members right there. Yeah, that's my member. No, that's not your member. We all should be a member or piece of the body of Christ. We got to shift the way that we think. You know, Apostle, I appreciate everything you do because you're open to every, you open a dialogue to every denomination that's out there. You fulfill the body of Christ for the people. But what are the people doing for the ministry? Are they getting mad if you had a dead church, a church that's dead, the bones are dry. Yeah, I understand you need some to be fed, but once you go there and you're being fed, I'm going to this church because they doing stuff. But once you get there, what are you doing? I'm just going to sit back. I ain't going to do nothing. I enjoy everything they do. So the church wasn't dead. You was dead, and you decide as a dead bone to go to a live church but still stay dead in that state of mind that I'm just here. You need to shift up and learn to do things and go back and make that dead church alive. And that's pretty deep, ain't it, Apostle?
Amen, amen, amen.
Because,
man, I'm sorry. Amen. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, that's powerful right there. That's powerful. That's really powerful.
Because a lot of you're not interrupting me, brother. You know, I done talked almost over an hour. You know, as preachers, we can talk. what I'm saying, I hope it's making sense.
Oh yeah, it's making sense now.
You know, because if people will understand that the church is them, and it's not us, and we don't own them, but they own the church, maybe the church will flourish more than it is. Because the first thing they do, they say, well, we waiting on the pastor. What's he going to do? What he want to do? Well, yeah, but if the pastor on the way to church, the Lord decided to take him on to heaven, are y'all going to close the doors? No. To realize that if you're not doing or not acting in the church, or say, well, pastor won't allow me. Well, brothers and sisters, y'all got to allow the people to ship your ministry to the next level. You got to allow things to happen if it's holy. You know, you don't need nobody up there doing ungodly things in the church. And it, yes, this going drawing crowds, but now you're the next club in the neighborhood, you know, and everything that everybody do in the world, now you're doing it in the church, in the house of the Lord. Even with that, you have to take the time to reevaluate who you are in your household, who you are in the church. Take the time to see where you want your life to be in your house first. You got to take care of home first. How are you going to sweep somebody else's porch? And you haven't even swept your own. How are you going to clean your house? But then you come to the church, the building, the hospital, and tell everybody in the hospital, y'all sick. I don't want to be in this sick place. Well, that's the place where everybody comes to get well. But are you bringing more sickness or are you bringing the cures to help people? Do you have a pension plan? Do you have a 401k? Do you have an IRA? Do you have mutual funds in your house, at home? Do you have money saved just in case we go back into a lockdown for the next 3 months that you can maintain your home? If nothing else this pandemic has showed us, it's how to prepare for what if. Now you got your house in order. What about the church? You know the church have been paying bills, paying mortgages. But now, are you going to see that the church have the shift in life that if we sat down in the church with a church, can we pay the church bills for 3 months? That church is yours. It's not the pastor. Yeah, the pastor might found it, but it's still yours. It's your community church. It's your neighborhood church. It's your family church. But once you do all that, will you maintain it? And then the next thing, and which is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is the shift from this world to the next, to see our Father. Do you have life insurance? Have you made preparations to leave? Do you have a pre-plan, a prepaid policy, where you have paid into a funeral home, or done bought your plots for you and your wife, or just for you or whoever? And if the Lord called knocking on your door, are we making plans to have a fundraiser, or we're making plans for a funeral? We talk about the Black community so much, how the 7-day funerals, 7 days out before we bury them, or all this, and then the Caucasian or the other, even the Muslims, they have their funerals in 2 or 3 days. That's because they had the resources set aside. That's because they did things in a different way. Yes, we have to get the people time to come that's out of state or out of town, but if you're not prepared for someone to pass away, you think everybody's going to live eternally. If you live in California and your parents live in Fortland, Florida, and you know they're in their 90s, you know they're going to pass away sooner or later, but then once they pass, you say, I don't got no money to go down there to the funeral. I don't have enough money for an airplane ticket. You can't prepare for that, even though you don't have the insurance, but the life insurance policy for them, you could prepare to go down there and take the life insurance they have and make preparations for them. Are you doing what needs to be done in the house to prepare for what's after this life? Your mindset. If nothing else, you've seen how death have been knocking on people's doors this past year. This unexpected death. Healthy people. Some of us have been at the verge of death with this corona. And we done got up out of the bed, took the oxygen mask off or the ventilators off, and still have made preparations. If God come the next time, will I be ready? In life. And be serious about it. Life is a journey. But to go on that journey, you've got to be ready. You've got to have the wherewithal where you're going. You're not going to leave Houston, Texas in December, where it's maybe 85, 90 degrees, and you be in shorts, and then you're going to drive up to Salt Lake City, Utah, or Washington State, or Atlanta, or any other of these states, and it's freezing. It's 30 degrees or 20 degrees, but all you packed was shorts and a shirt. You don't have a coat. You don't have pants, nothing. You're not going to go and say, well, I'm going to drive up there and I'm going to stay in this hotel for a week, and I'm going to do this. And you done made plans of what you want to do or what you think you're going to do, but now it's too cold for you to do anything, and you're not prepared for it.
Amen.
Get prepared for what you need. Prepare your life in this life for the life after. Amen?
Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Stanley. We're just excited about, you know, you guys new coming on and just share what you have shared with us today. About us, you know, we tend to focus on you know, the spiritual things, and then we sometimes forget that we have to deal with the natural things of life too. And that's what you brought to the forefront for us this morning, those natural things that we need to keep in mind. And a lot of times, you know, as ministers and as pastors, you know, we negate that responsibility to make sure that our people, their mindsets and their way of dealing with life itself, dealing with just the like you said, the loss of life, the loss of a loved one, you know, the loss of a job. You have to have some things in place in order for you to be shifted in a mindset to where you ain't got to do a whole lot of struggling. You ain't got to do a whole lot of work. You ain't got to do, because the Bible says it like this. He said, look at the ant. He said, for he take the ant stores up for the winter. And that's what we have to realize. The Bible gives us all those keys that you just got through giving us. It's right there in the Word. It talks about being a slugger. It talks about being lazy. It talks about the folding of the hands for a little while and closing of the eyes and being softer. It talks about all of that right there in the Word. And it gives us that instructions on how and what we need to do in the direction that we need to go in and to keep us mindful of the things of life and the things of the Word and the things of this world and the things of what we need to be doing to get to that place that where we need to be. And, man, we just thank you so very much. We thank you so very much for getting on today and sharing the Word with us today. Listen, let the people know how they can get in contact with you, where you are, your service times, and all that.
Well, you can get in contact with me at 281-222-6929. That's the church number. Or Our Faith Fellowship Church at gmail.com. If you would like to visit the church right now, we're not doing in-person church, but you can also watch us on Facebook. That's on Our Faith Fellowship Church at 10:30 in the morning. Every morning at 10:30 Sunday morning. I am located in Houston, Texas. The church is actually located in Spring. But you can email us at ourfaithfellowshipchurch@gmail.com, or you can mail at P.O. Box 3111, Spring, Texas, 77383. You know, we actually fellowship in, whenever we do, is at 8955 North Wayside, Houston, Texas. 77, you know that all these zip codes, my brother. The zip code to that address is 77028. That's 8955 North Wayside Drive. But we are not doing in person visits or fellowship right now until this pandemic goes down. I care about the people, but one thing I'm going to drop this into the people there. If you love your pastor, get your pastor a life policy. Get a term policy on him. Pass away. You as a member can sustain. We're going to bless the pastor and his family to not only help with the burial expenses, but to maintain the church until we can get another pastor. Insure your pastor. I know that might sound funny, but believe me, how you think Lakewood went from where they at to where they at now? Because they had the church had insurance on the pastor, and then it went from the next level. Do stuff for your church as well as for your house, for the man of God. But you can reach me, and I am available, call or text, like I said. And I will, if you would like information on anything that I talked about or how to get the process started on your better credit, or the process started on how to build your network or understand your network or how to build a business, I'm more than open. All Faith Fellowship Church is a 501c3, LLC, 202 and a 205. A 202 and 205, that's state exempt. The 501c3 is federal exempt. So I wrote my own 501c3, my own constitution, my own bylaws, and my own LLC. So as a body of Christ, if that's what you need to get to the next level, I will help you shift up. But you got to slow down and be humble first and ask.
And man, it's powerful. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, my grandmother used to say it like this to us all the time, closed mouth don't get fed. So
definitely said.
Closed mouth don't get fed. You don't open up your mouth and say something, you ain't going to get nothing. So which one would you rather do, sit there and be hungry, or open up your mouth and say something? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to teach you like the man that's sitting by the pool. I'm going to tell you to pick up your bed and walk. I'm not going to do it all by myself.
Yeah. You know, and that's powerful, man, because a lot of times we want the help, but the thing about it is, and see, my wife, she's in the process of learning how to write the grants and all that stuff. And she told the man, she said, only thing I need you to do is show me what to do. And after show me what to do, I'm going to teach other people how to do it, because I want to learn so I can be able to teach somebody else. You know,
right.
And that's the thing that we have to get into a custom of. It is, if I can do it, if I can teach you how to do it, or if they show me how to do it, I'm going to, in return, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give it to somebody else, because I want them to have just as much as I have, or either get more, because that's just, it's just the right thing to do. You know what I mean? It's just the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. But hey, man, listen, man, we appreciate you so much. We thank God for your word that you shared with us this morning. We thank God for the opportunity to have you come on and just to share and to break the bread of life and to encourage the people. Let us pray for you before you get off. And we just want to just thank God for you. Father God, we thank you for the man of God. God, we thank you for the resources that he has shared on this morning to these your people, for the ones that he has given insight to, for the people that he has given strength to, for the people that he's given wisdom to, for him giving to the people, God, that they need, God, to level up, to shift in this season, God. God, in their mental state, in their, their natural mental state on today. God, we thank you for the word that you have placed inside of his belly, God, to share. God, we pray that you will restore and in store, God, and replenish that he has shared out with these your people. And we pray for an increase in his life. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen,
amen.
And amen. Amen. Right, listen, we're just, like I said, we're just excited. We want to hold on for a moment. Let us pay a couple of bills, as they say back in the radio days. Let us pay a couple of bills, Pastor Stanley. Just hang on for a minute, and we're going to bring you. I want to talk with you. All right.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Again, guys, you guys have been listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. That was our guest, none other than Pastor Stanley Davis. He's giving you all his information to reach him. If you like to, guys, you guys can reach out to us, and we'll reach out to him to give you his information so you can reach out to him to speak with him. If you guys wanted to partake of any of those services that he just mentioned to you guys. Also, guys, remember, this is the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Remember, you guys can reach us via the World Wide Web. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to our Facebook page and connect with us there. You can also reach us through 832-519-7646. You can reach us there. You can text and call on that number as well. Listen, we're just excited about what God is doing. Listen, we're going to go ahead on and we're going to share this morning a quick prayer for those of you all that are under the sound of our voices this morning that would like to give your life to Christ. Those of you all that are standing in the place right now to where you want to give your life to Christ, and we want to open up that opportunity for you. So the Bible speaks of in Romans 10 and 9, it talks about it, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. That is the word. That is the word. So we want to reach out to those that are under the sound of our voice this morning, and you would like to be saved. You would like to be in the hands of God, to have that relationship in God. I want to extend to you this opportunity, and let's do it this way. Once we extend it to you, we're going to reintroduce this word at Romans 10 and 9 as we pray. And when we reintroduce that to you, I want you to just lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, and just say, Lord, I receive it. And then when you do that, you're going to receive salvation in that moment, because you're saying to God, God, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. So let us pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for these that are under the sound of our voice. God, we pray today, God, that what is being transpired in their life right now, God, they may be at a crossroads not knowing what direction to go in. But Father, we come to you now, God, as your manservant, God, and we pray for those that are under the sound of our voice. God, we pray, God, that they would, God, whatever the issue or circumstance it is, God, no matter what it may be, God, that they would release it right now, God, and extend themselves unto you right now to receive you, Father God. Open up their hearts and their minds to receive you, Father God, as their Lord and Savior. God, and as they do so, God, the scripture, Romans 10 and 9, we speak it over their lives right now, that they confess with their mouth, they believe in their hearts that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and they are now saved. So as they lift up their hands and receive this prayer and receive this salvation, Father God, God, we pray a covering over their life now. God, we bind and blind the enemy, God. God, as they desire to go and walk toward you now, God, and give them the strength to continue to stand. Now, there are those, God, that were under the sound of our voice that heard us, oh God. God, and they are in the road of transition. They're at the fork in the road right now, and God, they have not made that decision. Father, we pray that you would give them grace. God, not grace that they continue to stay in the thing that they're in, but God, grace for them to get it right. God, and put an urgency in their heart, an urgency in their minds, an urgency in their spirit. God, that they would do, God, the thing that they need to do to get into the place of salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, those of you all that are under the sound of our voice and you would like to share with us on this morning, and you'd like to share in a gift of giving on this morning, you could do so by going to your Cash App, and that Cash App is WGC2020. Again, that's WGC2020. That's the Cash App that you can go to. You can also go to PayPal, and it's paypal.me/worldwideGC. Again, that's paypal.me/worldwideGC. And you can also go to your Zelle, which is your bank app. You can go there to Zelle. And when you go to Zelle, you can go to the phone number that's attached to the account is 832-816-7997. Again, that's 832-816-7997. For any of those giving spots, you can go there to give your share, your gift in giving with us on this morning. We hope something was said or done on this morning that would bless your soul, bless your life, bless your day, and cause a shift to happen in your life on today. Now, listen, guys, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we'll be right back. Guys, remember, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Unselfishly died on Calvary, oh how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns, no greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the
price to pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I hurt you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
You played it all.
I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life.
I never knew a love so true. You gave your life.
You gave
but
your life.
Still I hurt you.
Still I hurt you.
So many times
I crucified you. Forgive me for my sin.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We thank you for joining us and being a part of what we're doing here. We thank you for your continued support. God bless you. You guys have a fantastic day. And remember, this is the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And always remember, you guys can come here to get encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the Word of God.